Grace, mercy, and peace be with you this evening from God our Father, our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, diet fads have changed over the years, especially as of late. But what has been true in most places for most of the history of the world is that bread has been and really still is the staple food of any society. It's not uncommon to have bread at every meal. Toast for breakfast, a sandwich for lunch, and perhaps buttered rolls on the dinner table at night. But whether or not you and your family have attempted to cut carbs by eating less bread, the truth is, in your life, I bet you've eaten plenty of it. And so you still understand how it metaphorically stands for that life-sustaining element that is absolutely necessary for our lives to continue. That's why the person bringing home the biggest paycheck is still called the breadwinner. That's why we sometimes still refer to our money as bread or dough. And that's why when we pray the Lord's Prayer and we ask God to give us this day our daily bread, we know exactly what we're asking for. That God would provide us everything we need in this life for our lives to continue. You and I know that we need bread to live. God's people have long been sustained by their daily bread, from God providing manna in the wilderness to the Israelites, to those in Jesus' day who would travel to Bethlehem, where Jesus was born. The city means literally the house of bread. Jesus begins his ministry, let's not forget, being tempted to turn stones into bread in a temptation to save his very life. We just need bread to live. Twice, Jesus fed vast crowds by miraculously multiplying the loaves. And in the ancient Middle East, it's important for you to know that there was no such thing as sliced bread, believe it or not. The loaves were large and round, similar to what we might call pita bread, but not necessarily as flat, sometimes rather thick. And it was very large and cumbersome to be eaten as is. So every meal began the same way, with the breaking and the distributing of bread. What Jesus did at the Last Supper had been repeated countless times before in the history of God's people. Before they ate, the bread had to be broken. Breaking bread then was a joyous image. It meant it was time to eat, time to sit down together and enjoy fellowship and celebrate that God had once again provided. You and I continue to break bread in our own lives, even if we only use that metaphorically. Every time we partake of God's providing hand, every time we enjoy his sustenance, we break bread in our lives. But you see, for us, when it comes to our daily bread, we face a host of problems. Some are directly tied to eating itself. We live in a culture of abundance and obesity. We use and misuse the food God gives us, maybe by eating too much, maybe by eating too little, or maybe by eating the wrong kinds of things, or ingesting, or even some injecting or swallowing the wrong kinds of things into their bodies. There is a reason that one of the seven deadly sins was gluttony. Gluttony, you see, is the inability or unwillingness that we have to control our desires. It is the abuse of God's good gifts. It's a failure to receive his blessings and use them with responsibility, but instead to manipulate and to twist those blessings into self-serving objects of our desires. See, gluttony is all about satisfying ourselves. Answering our need of hunger, whatever that might be, right now, regardless of what kind of price we might need to pay later. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us how much Adam and Eve had to eat that day in the Garden of Eden under the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But I can tell you this, whether it was an entire basket full of fruit or just a single bite, it was gluttony that drove their sinful actions. They craved something they did not have, and they wanted to satisfy that craving. And so they reached out and they took the object of their desire. They heard the serpent whisper, "Take and eat. Without thinking, they snatched the fruit and they ate what God had forbidden. They thoughtlessly indulged that craving, and as they fed their desires, they sinned. Now, we've been taught in our faith tradition what to think about daily bread, and we know that it includes more than physical bread that we eat with our mouths. In our small catechism, Luther has a very thorough and extensive definition of what he would have us think about when he talks about our daily bread. What is meant by daily bread, asks the catechism, and then you were taught to memorize. I have to take a breath before I say this. Daily bread includes everything that has to do with the support and the needs of the body, such as food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, home, land, animals, money, goods, a devout husband or wife, devout children, devout workers, devout and faithful rulers, good government, good weather, good peace, health, self-control, good reputation, good friends, faithful neighbors, and the like. And I often like to add after that, do you think Luther left anything out? Probably not. It's a pretty thorough list. So you and I have been taught to know that daily bread includes all the good things in life that God gives us to provide. But here's the problem. Instead of ingesting these gifts with care, gluttony drives our actions time and time again. And we just continue to indulge. We see something to want, the world whispers in our ears, take and eat. And too often we ignore God's clear commands and thoughtlessly we partake. And whether or not you sitting here today or I have problems with physical eating and food, every single one of us sitting here tonight has a problem with gluttony. Gluttony, the demand to have what our desires want and to have it now. We've forgotten that God is well aware of every need we need to survive each day, but instead of placing our trust in His provision and in His timing, we go after what we want, when we want it, without any restraint. You might say that our breaking of bread is broken. Our partaking in God's provision has been perverted. Our worldly eating is nothing short of evil. We take, we eat, we overeat things we shouldn't even touch, let alone taste, we devour. Now, these cravings may take the form of physical cravings, but more often, I think if we're honest ourselves in this American culture, more often it takes the form of material cravings. We want a new and bigger TV. We want updated smartphones, newer cars, bigger houses, and nicer vacations, more comfortable retirement. We want these things, and we want them right now, and so we take them, even if it means crippling debt, even if it means we rob God of His rightful tithe. Or maybe the craving is for a relationship that God has declared off limits. We've heard God's command not to lust, but that gluttonous desire in our life, egged on by the world's whisper, take and eat, causes us to ignore our Father in heaven, and we indulge. Maybe it's a friendship at work that's becoming more than a friendship, despite promises we've made to someone else. Maybe it's the desire for a fantasized relationship of an ideal lover that we lust after on some computer screen. So we point, we click, we devour. Maybe for you it's the desire for power or prestige or some kind of status, and you have to have it, you crave it, you want it right now, and so you stroke your pride, even if that means you trample others down in the process. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we have a problem with our daily bread, each and every one of us. We see, we want, we take, we eat, and even though we may pretend we aren't, make no mistake about it, we are paying a price. The guilt of our sin weighs us down, and through our sin, our indulging, others pay the price of our sin as well. How often do we spoil God's good and wonderful gifts by abusing them? How often have we twisted God's beautiful provision into something that is false and ugly and maybe even shameful? How often have we missed God's provision and His timing by our own vicious efforts to supply for our own needs and in our own ways? How often has your desire for the good life led you away from a simple trust in God and His promises that He, not we, will always provide the daily bread we need to support our bodies and our lives? Getting daily bread, breaking bread, consuming bread, enjoying all of God's blessings in this life have become profoundly problematic for us. And it seems as if rightly handling all these countless blessings God gives us is something we can't master. It's a challenge that our sinful nature fails at time and time again. Our dealings with daily bread so often land us in the midst of deep sin. We just don't handle bread that well. Our dealings with our bread in this life are broken indeed, leading to broken lives and our moral failures. You see, that's why, in addition to consistent and sufficient provision our Maker gives us each day through physical bread on our tables and all of our other blessings, God gives you and I another kind of bread. God provides for us a spiritual bread that meets our greatest need of all. He gives us Jesus, the bread of life, and says to us, take and eat, partake in abundance. Because the truth of the matter is, whether you realize it or not, your worst hunger in your life is your desire to be free from the guilt of sin. And the worst starvation you're ever going to experience in this world is facing a world that in which there's a famine of compassion, and you long to experience true and lasting and sacrificial love. And God sees that hunger. He sees that need, and He sees that craving, and so He sends to you living bread. He sends to you His Son, Jesus Christ. And when Jesus came, He said some incredible things. He said that the only way for anyone to eat was to eat His flesh, to drink His blood. These words can still sound strange in our ears even 2,000 years later. They're stunning and hard words. These were such hard words that those in Jesus' day were deeply offended at what He said, and the text says many of them just walked away. They couldn't deal with such a remarkable and audacious claim. It was too much. Who can understand this? They clamored, frustrated. See, Jesus was making an extraordinary claim. Here's what He was saying. He was saying that He was the only true source of sustenance. The only way a person could hope to thrive in this life or in the life to come was to partake of Him. Jesus stood there before the crowds and said that He was the one essential thing that every person needed to survive and to grow. He's as necessary and as vital as the bread you and I eat each day. And Jesus stands before us today in our gospel reading, and He's trying to teach us that instead of feeding our frenzied, self-satisfying desires, fed on by the cravings of the world, we do better to feed on the bread that God gives us. We do better to feed daily on Jesus. You don't need the bread of your cravings, the appetite stirred up by the world that one day says, take and eat this, and the next day it's this, and now this. No, instead we need the living bread of life, Jesus Christ, the only source of eternal life. But brothers and sisters in Christ, before you eat of this bread of life from heaven, the bread has to be broken. And you and I know that happens in a literal and very graphic way on Calvary. Jesus is broken. His blood is shed. For you and I, Jesus bleeds. And while we know from Scripture that just like that Passover lamb, His bones were left unbroken, make no mistake about it. His body was torn and pierced, and it was broken. And in this breaking of bread, sin is devoured. Fellowship with the Father is restored. This broken bread gives us eternal life. And every time you come here to church and hear the words of absolution spoken over you, you eat once again of this bread of life. Each time Christ comes to you in the sacrament, you eat the bread of life that is broken for you. And each time you hear God's word, Christ comes to you again with his gifts and his grace, and you take and eat of the bread of life once more. This happens not only in the Lord's Supper and in hearing his word, but it really happens each and every day of your life that you enjoy God's good gifts once again. You walk out of here tonight, Jesus wants you to know that the broken bread that he provides is the one and only solution to the brokenness in our lives. The problems we have with our gluttonous desires, the problems that we have with the handling of this daily bread, are beautifully and perfectly answered in none other than Jesus, the bread of life broken for you. Now here's what this doesn't mean. This doesn't mean that once you start partaking of the living bread of heaven that your sinful desires and cravings simply disappear. You already know if you've lived life, that's not true. Nor does it mean that our desires no longer get the best of us and lead us into trouble. And it certainly doesn't mean that there aren't going to be many times in our life when we feel our Lord's provision is just much, much too meager. Here's what it does mean. It means to receive the living bread of Christ that you and I have a way out of our sinful desires. Our desires don't need to only conquer and have the last word in our lives anymore because Christ has the last word. And our desires aren't going to be the only thing driving us anymore. Slowly, over time, our lives are more readily ordered by God's command and our increasing trust in his provision, in his timing. In other words, as you begin to partake of the bread of life regularly, everything in your life begins to change. This is the shape of our Christian life. Graciously receiving and being faithful stewards of all God's gifts that sustain and enrich our lives, daily enjoying feeding on the bread of life and the forgiveness he offers, being strengthened through that. The bread of life was broken for you. And that makes you an entirely new person. So eat up. The world says take and eat, but we turn our eyes away from the world and we look at Jesus who with outstretched hand says, take and eat once more. As often as you eat of this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So eat up. The blessings of Christ await you. Go in his peace. Amen.